Anderson heaving one down the sideline, and he's got Cass Allen.
Listening to the Bruin Bible. This is your host, Will Decker, bringing you UCLA football content all throughout the year for LA Football Network.
What is up and welcome to the latest edition of the Bruin Bible. We're doing a special one recapping tonight's Cal against UCLA game. Ride or die in the house, the godfather himself. We got a fun one planned out. And a game that, you know, had a ton of nerves for me in the first half. I'm watching on a plane ride home. I was not able to be in LA for this, so I have a Delta flight. Luckily, had the TV in front of me watching the game. First and foremost, Rye, how was your Thanksgiving? And two, where did you watch the game?
Yeah, I mean, thank God for Delta with the live game action. Touche that. Thanksgiving was great. Spent it over at the brother-in-law's house with all my wife's family. So that's always good. Food was great. Everyone just kind of brings checks off certain things on the list, and we all kind of collaborate and bring it. But it was, traditional Thanksgiving with some Mexican flavor, which was always fantastic. And can't complain. Watched the game at home. Was going to actually watch the soccer game, U.S. Men's National game early. Had to catch the U.S. tie England, which was a great match. And then got the UCLA game right after, so able to watch the whole thing. But how was your Thanksgiving? I know you were out with family, so good time.
It was good, man. Went back to cold Michigan. There was snow all over the ground when I got there, but just good to see some family. Haven't seen some extended family in some time. So that was great. Thanksgiving was great. Today was great. The Bruins got a win. Let's dive right into it, man. The big thing for me was I felt the nerves in the first half. We get the touchdown on the second drive of the game, a nice Jake Bobo little end zone route. Beautiful move from Bobo to get in the end zone. Guy is a wizard at getting open within the red zone area. But what really started to make me nervous was the first missed field goal by Barmira. And then it just kind of imploded a little bit for UCLA. We saw, the fake punt go for Cal where they picked up the first down. We saw us in the red zone. We were fourth and goal at the one. We tried to, hike the ball. It was a, false start. So we pushed them back even more. And then the secondary was just playing horribly, as well as some terrible penalty calls all around. Give me your thoughts on how nervous you were in the first half, given that this Cal team came out and was ready to play. Jack Plummer was throwing some dimes out there in the first half all over the football field at Memorial Stadium.
Yeah, I had kind of mixed emotions because, I knew this game would be tight regardless of record. This is a rivalry game. Two of these staple UC schools, then obviously everything going on outside of the gridiron with UCLA leaving the Big Ten, and Cal is the big driver in those UC Regent meetings trying to block this move. So there's obviously bad blood there. And it seems like, Cal's kind of an odd team anyway this year. I know they're 4-8, but they've been competitive, but they've had like horrible losses to Colorado, but they took, USC to the brink. So I guess it's just these SoCal teams they definitely get up for and play against. But to answer your question, when the halftime hit, I wasn't nervous at all because I was like, all right, this is a game UCLA should win. They're the better team. They came out a little slow, hopefully correct mistakes. And then I started thinking more about it as like the 10 minute halftime goes. I'm like, well, that's how I felt about the Arizona game. And they could just never actually get fully on track and really clamp down. So, but it was definitely happy that they got that, beautiful drive to end the half in what 20 seconds or whatever that was. They moved down the field, DTR doing it with his arm and his legs. And then when they were able to come out of the half and score right away again, it's like, okay, they were able to do what they weren't able to do in the Arizona game, where they had that 2-for-1 opportunity in the Arizona game and they got zero out of it with a missed field goal and then a 3-and-out or whatever. They doubled up in this game, getting the 2-for-1. And then that's when I was like, okay, I think they'll handle business, but definitely didn't love seeing Cal in it that much throughout the entire game. That's for sure.
Yeah, and an offense that has struggled all throughout this year. And I think that's just a credit to just the secondary. And I came into this year expecting big things from the secondary, with senior leadership back there, the Mo Austins, the Stephen Blaylocks, the talented transfers in there, on paper, and an Azizi Hearn, a Jalen Davies. And Davies did make a play in his respect, but, we saw Azizi Hearn struggle out there today, specifically targeted on the outside. The safeties weren't providing much help in the background. And coming into this game, Rye, we were 117th out of 131 teams in passing defense. It looked like it got a little bit worse coming out of this game. As UCLA fans, are we just supposed to accept that we will never have a pass defense with the Bruins, because this has been Chip's Achilles heel, you know, since he has pretty much arrived on campus at Westwood. We've switched out, you know, coaching staff. Granted, Brian Norwood is still the secondary coach, to the much of the dismay from UCLA fans. But we got a new system in there. We got new coaches. It's just not coming to fruition. Give me your take on the secondary, Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, they've got some talent back there, obviously, right? I mean, Blaylock's been safety for about 25 years, it feels like, in Westwood. Obviously, Devin Kirkwick has been a little banged up, but definitely a high talent. Azizi Hearn's got some good skill sets. So I thought this year we'd see a vast improvement with a somewhat of a scheme change going from Azzanero to Bill McGovern. And obviously, you said still the same secondary coach, but I thought there'd be some scheme shifts. And I feel like throughout the season, we've seen some improved times. It's just never been consistent. And it seems like whenever teams had to throw the ball, so like UCLA got up to a lead, like specifically against Washington and against Arizona State, then it's like the secondary just imploded and the other opposing offense could do whatever they wanted through the air. So I don't know if it's a skill issue, just don't have quite the talent on that end. I don't know if it's a scheme issue. I don't know if it's a fundamental issue. I don't know if it's a Chip, just the head coach, even though he doesn't coach defense. It's just what's going to happen when he's the coach. I really don't know what to put my finger on. What do you think? How do they just need to go out and get better players, or is it just coaching? It's a great question.
I think schematically they've got to change some things up. They got to get new coaches in there. You know, even with, you know, the firing of Azzanero, the punchline we had in January was McGovern was almost like Azzanero's like mentor when it came to coaching. So we're getting a very similar system. And, you know, the definition of insanity is doing something over and over again and expecting different results in the same manner. It's proven at this point that the secondary is just not getting better. I think we have to make a decision come this offseason. And Brian Norwood would be my choice. I think he's been a very respectable person. I think he's been awesome towards the media as a secondary coach. But when someone's just not doing their job correctly, you got to make changes. And I feel that with Brian Norwood moving forward with that. So that was an issue, but you made a really good point. When it was 21-10, I'm on the plane. I'm sweating bullets, Rye. I mean, it's less than a minute left in the first half. UCLA has, you know, three timeouts. And I'd really have to go back and find a more impressive DTR drive, you know, that really defined what this team was all about this year. And down 21-10, just hits a quick couple of throws over the middle. Isaiah Norwood had a huge play over the middle to, you know, push it into the inside the 30. DTR eventually runs it in from 19 yards. But that was as pro-ready as I've seen DTR have. And, you know, he had his press game or his post-game press conference tonight where he alluded to the fact that he may sit out the bowl game because he wants to be healthy come the NFL draft and Senior Bowl, things of that nature. Do you see him being a serious contender to play football at the next level?
Yeah, first of all, it's unfortunate when you see, and obviously a different pressure situation. It's the end of the half, not the game, but you see that drive and you're like, man, if DTR could have just done that against Arizona or against USC, we could be singing, you know, potentially a Pac-12 title game on the horizon here instead, just because that's what he did in that half into half. If he would have done that in those games, those are two wins. And this is a you know, 10-1 football team or 11-1 football team right now, potentially. So that's unfortunate, but I don't know. The competitor in him, it'd be hard for me to see him not play in this game, in this, you know, bowl game. And I know he'd want to go out with a 10-win season, tying the most ever for a UCLA program. The agent in me, which I'm not an agent, but if I was an agent, I would absolutely say, yeah, there's literally no reason for you to play here. You've broken essentially every UCLA record in the regular season and whatnot. You've done everything you can. You got this team to a 9-win season, got them to a bowl game. I personally think he'll play, just knowing who he is and his competitive nature. I can't see Zach Charbonnet playing just because of the position style he plays a little different, which I'm sure maybe we'll get to, but I would think DTR plays, right? Especially if it's in Vegas, if they're in the Vegas Bowl and he gets to play in front of his hometown, being from Bishop Gorman, I can't see him not playing, right?
Yeah, if it's the Vegas Bowl, I mean, come on, man. You are the Vegas kid in college football right now. You got to go out and deliver on that. And, you know, Charbonnet is a whole different conversation for me because I legitimately think if Charbonnet is to reach his ceiling, maybe he's an end of a first round pick for a team out there. You know, I think this guy, for my money, is the best pro ready running back coming out for the NFL draft. With Thompson Robinson, as much as we love him as UCLA fans, I see him more as a developmental prospect. So he'd be like a day three guy. If you're sitting out for day three, I you know, that's not my thing. If I was a fan of UCLA football, I think you got to lay down the line. If Charbonnet is going to leave, you know, because he can be a first rounder, I think that may be the right path for him. But for DTR, I'm not a fan of. Speaking of Charbonnet, another great performance, 24 carries, 119 yards and a touchdown. The most rushing attempts UCLA had in a game this season coming into today was 45. They rushed the ball, Rise, 64 times as a team. They just ran the ball down Cal's throat. We were getting sights of Charbonnet. TJ Harden looked great today, 12 carries, yeah. 89 yards, you know, averaging 7.4 yards a clip. Even Colson Yankoff, man. I mean, it was kind of a running joke at the beginning of the season, but this guy, all-purpose back, made a couple catches, 11 carries, 59 yards. It made me think, even with the likes of a guy like Charbonnet leaving, who, by the way, that fourth and two run he had where he was stopped in the backfield, I think 99 out of 100 running backs would have just taken that hit and, you know, had the ball turned over. He went up against Scott, the Cal safety, brought it forward, got the first down. Incredible run. Best two-yard run I've ever seen in my life. But if Charbonnet were to leave, I still think there's a chance we could be a top 2 to 3 rushing offense within the Pac-12, even without the likes of Charbonnet. Give me your take on how we were toting the rock today. I didn't even mention DTR's running.
Yeah, I mean, you know, first of all, the offense in general, they almost ran 100 plays, Will. Almost 100 plays on offense, which is such a Chip Kelly stat, right? Like, that's what he made him famous back in Oregon, is how many plays can they run, how quick can they do it. They get almost 100. I mean, they still threw the ball 30 times. And you mentioned the 60-plus runs they had. But the runs were so efficient. And part of that is the offensive line, the gap scheme they use. You know, just the great offensive linemen that have really grown and matured just in this year from, you know, week one all the way now to week 11 or whatever it is. And, you know, Charbonnet, you can't take anything away from him. He's the best back in football. Obviously, it's going to sting when he's gone. He's so important to this offense. But, and this is not taking anything away from Charbonnet, but I don't think the sting will be as badly felt as many think, because I mean, we saw when Charbonnet didn't play against Arizona State, this team ran for over 400 yards. Tonight, he was the lead back, obviously, but TJ Harden looked fantastic and Keegan Jones didn't even play. And he's kind of your track meet guy. And then Colson Yankoff looked great as well. So I think there's a lot to be excited about still for this, UCLA rush game going in the next year. Obviously, we'll be a different quarterback, so that's going to change things considering what DTR does. But, you know, if a guy like, Justin Martin ends up being your starter, obviously he's a mobile guy as well. I think if Chase Garber's ends up being a quarterback, probably less mobile, but still at least has that ability to keep the defense honest. He's not definitely going to run like DTR will, but he'll at least keep the defense honest. So I don't think this offense, and this again, no disrespect to DTR Charbonnet, but I don't think it's going to be as badly falling off as people may think on paper by who they're losing. I think there's a lot of good guys coming back, a lot of offensive linemen that will be back. It's really if they just get the QB position right, the running game is still going to be very, very efficient. To you alluded to, potentially still top two in the conference.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking for next year. And you look at just the stats. 64 carries as a team, 352 yards on the ground, and the longest run of the day was only 21 yards by TJ Harden late in the third quarter. So it wasn't like we were, you know, having these 70-yard runs with a Kaz Allen or a 50-yard Charbonnet run. We were just getting between the lines, getting those 6-7-yard gains each and every time out, and there was nothing the Cal defense could do. Want to go back to the DTR performance. I thought, you know, the fourth down at the end where he was trying to elude the pressure and tried to hit Charbonnet and extend it. That was a tough situation, but that goes both ways. I think Charbonnet's got to catch that football as well. But I thought, you know, for the most part, he did a phenomenal job of running the offense. And what is his final regular season game as a quarterback for UCLA? You know, 189 yards, a touchdown, and then 14 carries, 88 yards, 2 touchdowns. It's really kind of setting in that this is really going to be the last time, you know, before, you know, after the bowl game, and we're going to see a player like DTR who's been here for 5 years, right? He's been here before the pandemic. I mean, he's been here since 2018, really before LA Football Network as a whole even was really developing into what it is today. What, in your opinion, does DTR mean to UCLA fans as a whole? Because I think he's a phenomenal winner. You know, maybe we didn't get to the heights that we thought we were going to reach this year, but just the ability he had and his can't-quit attitude he's had all throughout his career is something that UCLA fans will take back with them and, you know, cherish for a long time.
Yeah, I hope he goes down as one of the most beloved QBs in UCLA history. He's been such a polarizing QB, and not because he's like a super good human, good dude. So definitely not polarizing in that sense, but polarizing in just his style of play. And he was so raw, as we all know, when he came in. You know, really his first year playing quarterback was essentially at a Power 5 program in UCLA. I mean, he had played sparingly at Bishop Gorman, you know, being a backup for Tate Martell. So really didn't play any quarterback at any level until he gets to, you know, college and playing for a Pac-12 team. So he was basically learning as he went on. Chip Kelly was brand new as well and still in this new system. And obviously there was a lot of growing pains. I mean, the first year you saw the flashes, but there was a lot of bad. The second year, still a lot of bad. The third year, even better, but a lot of bad still. And finally in his fourth year is when we kind of got like the maturation of DTR as a QB. We see a lot more positive plays, a lot less negative plays. And then this year is where he really kind of put it all together. And I mean, overall, I think he had a fantastic season. Statistically had a great year, very little mistakes. I know there was the four turnovers in the USC game, which were obviously very unfortunate. People will point to that, but he also had six touchdowns and was the reason why UCLA was even in that game anyway. So very polarizing quarterback. I think that's what people will remember him most for. But I hope that he's one of the most respected just because of the competitor he is, the, you know, what he put into this team, to this program, what his teammates thought of him, what his coaches thought of him. So polarizing, but also beloved and also respected, I think, is the three words I can think of when you look at DTR's legacy here at UCLA. And obviously he'll go down as statistically the best because he has the most touchdowns and might end up, if he plays in the bowl game, the most yards rushing and passing.
He may own all the records if he plays in the bowl game we go to. Want to shout out one of the commenters, UCLA and Jordan is fire. I'm so happy for the Bruins football program and what DTR has done for it. And we'll miss a legend like DTR for a long time and definitely will buy his pro jersey. We will as well, Jordan. Last question I got for you, Rye, before we end this live stream. Coming into this year, you know, I think we all had expectations for UCLA football, but my prediction preseason was they were going to win 10 games. They're going to win 10 games. They're going to make a bowl game. That was kind of the standard. That's the program record for those who are unfamiliar at UCLA. You know, we had very, very high expectations after the last few weeks or before the last few weeks transpired, you know, before the Arizona game, before the USC game. In your opinion, is this a successful season for UCLA moving forward? Because I think if you told me this before the season, I would have said, yes, this is great. We're a top 20 team. We got 9 wins with a chance to win 10. But you look at the circumstances we've had where we were competing for a Pac-12 championship. We're competing, you know, for the likes of maybe sneaking into the top 4 with some victories down the line there. Give me your take, Ryan, because I think this is a very polarizing discussion, to use your word, of the UCLA fan base.
Well, you said it perfectly in your question. In August, this would have been, I think, a great success. 9-3, you look at, I mean, you look overall at the loss, but you look overall at the wins, beating Utah, beating Washington, being right there at the end of the game against USC, winning against Cal. I think you say, yeah, that's a great game. They had one slip up, blah, blah, blah. But as the season progressed and you kind of felt how special this season was, you saw the potential of what this team can be when they beat Utah by double digits. When they beat Washington, we're leading by, you know, almost 20 plus points until Washington came back a little bit there at the end. The way they competed, the way DTR was playing, the way Charbonnet, at one point, both of them being Heisman candidates. And obviously, Charbonnet still a Doak Walker candidate and hopefully will win that. But all that transpired throughout the year, and then ultimately to have the big letdown against Arizona, because even still, the loss to Oregon, the loss to USC, I think that would be okay, because if you can end the year right now at 10-2 going into the bowl game. But that loss to Arizona, it's a singular loss, but at home, what was at stake on the season, being ranked 12th in the country, you win that game, you potentially move into the top 10, posting USC the very next week with everything in front of you. That is what, to me, will make this season seem as somewhat of a letdown. And it's hard to say that after another win here against Cal and hopefully go on to your bowl game. But because of the way that the team was playing and growing and how, and obviously I think this team can be still very good throughout the years, but obviously with the team across town and USC that, they're going to be probably a top 5 program now, as long as Lincoln Riley is going to be there. So this was kind of the year UCLA had a really, really good chance to claim that Pac-12 title and be there either in the Rose Bowl or in the playoff, and to have it taken from you from Arizona, a 4-win team at the time of all times. That is what is so painful. And that is why I think overall, I wouldn't say the season was a full success. Still a very good year. Still the most wins Chip Kelly's had in his tenure, you know, one up from last year and potentially two up with the bowl game. Still a great statistical season for all these players. But overall, I think it's a little bit of a disappointment just because of how it was going and what could have been.
Yeah, totally agree. And, you know, Arizona was the perfect trap game. You had a former UCLA coach in Jed Fish leading a very solid passing attack, which was top 10 in the country at that time. What did we discuss, which was our Achilles weakness? It's our secondary. So Jaden Delora spinning the rock, the likes of Jacob Cowing, T-Mac, you know, Dorian Singer, those type of guys. That really was a problem for us, and it was very unfortunate that it happened right before the USC game. But, you know, I'm with you. I think overall getting to 9 wins, potentially 10 with the bowl game, these are very, very big strides we can take moving forward. But we're always going to think back to that Arizona game like you're thinking. And if we had pulled that one out, there's a real chance we're talking maybe Rose Bowl at the end of the day if that was something that could have been in the cards.
My prediction, Will, I think I can't remember if I did it with you on your show, but definitely me and Jamal did it on the LA football show, was, and this was obviously just the homer in me hoping for the network's sake, but it was in USC, UCLA went into that game both with one loss, which is what should have happened. And UCLA won that game to stamp their ticket to the Pac-12 title. Because there's no divisions, something happened where USC ended up getting a rematch in Vegas, and I had USC winning the rematch there to win the title. But that was the hope of having both those teams in it, because it was possible now with no, you know, divisions, but obviously didn't happen. It's all good.
Dude, well, trust me, we would have loved that as UCLA fans to have us playing for USC in the Pac-12 title game. Still a lot to be happy. We're going to get the first Bruins bowl game we've had since 2017, I believe. So this is, or 2016. So this is going to be a really, really fun time for UCLA Bruins fans. That is all we got for the live show. Make sure to subscribe to the UCLA LAFB YouTube channel. Make sure to text UCLA to 31032 to get all of our UCLA updates. We've still got some shirts to give out, I'm pretty sure, from the tailgate if you signed up there. So make sure you're checking in on that. Rye, any parting words to this live stream?
No, sir. Great season overall. I know we were just saying it was a little bit of a disappointment, but hey, 9 wins, still a fight. It's been a blast of a season covering this team. We'll have obviously many, many more and still have the bowl game to cover. And Will, thanks for jumping on, and glad you had a great time with family and are back home safe and in sunny SoCal, and hopefully de-thawing a little bit here in Los Angeles.
Man, it felt so good to get off the plane. We got that nice 60-degree weather back in Los Angeles. You can't beat it. And Bruin Bible, we are officially out of the live stream. Stay tuned for all we got coming to you later this month.